Imagine having the life of your dreams. Not temporary cash and glory, but happiness and inner peace. Explore new ways to be a creator and take your own journey into greatness. Is it possible? What does it take to make that happen? It takes the person known for extreme results. He's called the Cage Breaker and the Ultimate Catalyst. Coming back from the brink of death and now crushing it for himself and his clients, this is Your Ultimate Life Podcast with Kellen Flukiger.
Today is podcast number 200. Woo, I guess. I don't know. Big number. I never really thought about getting to number 200 when I started, but I did have a commitment in my mind to keep going as long as I thought it was useful and helpful for those that might be listening. The reason I picked today to talk about fear is because 200 was a milestone. 200 podcasts, 200 pieces of encouragement that I've created to try to help you create your ultimate life. Now, in doing that, I've created a definition, or I'm using a definition. It's not my creation. It's from my experience in many places. But your ultimate life is a life where you love getting up every morning, and it is full of purpose, full of prosperity, and full of joy. And if you say, what has to happen to create that ultimate experience where I love my life every day, all day, and I get up looking forward to it in such an excited way every day? What I defined is you create it by serving others with your divine gifts. You might wonder why I defined it that way, and I've talked about this on other episodes, but I want to review it just for a sec. I'm a coach, and I have clients all around the world. People come to me to help them do things that they don't think they can do things they are afraid to do things they haven't done before or they have wanted to do for a long time. Now, those things might be physical things like body, getting in shape or losing weight. They might be financial things like starting a business or scaling a business. They might be relationship things like my relationship with my partner or my children or my business partner is not what I want it to be, and I want to fix that. Inevitably, no matter what they come with, it comes down to one set of things. And that set of things is how you or how I show up in the world, what we believe is possible. I wrote a book a while ago called The Book of Context, and I defined context as that series of definitions, beliefs, experiences, expectations, and perceptions that shapes what you believe is possible. That set of things is your context, and that came out of a near-death experience that I had when I had three conversations with God at the door between life and eternity, and he affirmed to me some things I already knew, but put them in very stark relief. Now, if you want to read about that experience and those conversations, or read about this context in more detail, there's books, all that. There's a book called Meeting God at the Door that talks about dying in the hospital and what happened, and then there's a book after that called The Book of Context. All of those books and all the resources that I talk about are available on my website, www.kellenflukiger.com, if that interests you. Anyway, in one of those conversations, when it was clear from what God said that we're all his divine creations and that we all have a divine purpose in the world, we're all here with a reason, and we all have something we were excited about doing, and we all have gifts and talents that were given to us before we came for two reasons. One, to do that work, and two, to have joy, to enjoy it. And so creating the ultimate life of purpose, prosperity, and joy that you create by serving others with your divine gifts is the intention of our creation. We were created to have joy. We were created to serve. We were created to use the gifts and talents we brought with us and to develop them further and then use them to bring happiness and joy and add good to this world. So if you think about all that, one of the questions I asked was, okay, since that's true, why is it that we settle for crumbs? And by crumbs, I meant we live far below our opportunities. We live far below our potential. And that is manifest every time I talk to someone who says, you know, I could do this. I want to, and I've been wanting to for whatever, a year or 10 years or something, and I'm not doing it. I had that conversation with a client just this morning where this particular client told me it was years that they had been wanting to write a book in this particular case, and that the thing that was stopping them was what we're talking about today, which is fear. They had a fear about doing that. And in the conversation with God, it was expressed a little different. I said, well, why do we settle for crumbs? And the answer was really short and really simple. Because you don't believe. And I had asked the question, we, so he was talking about all of us. I've certainly lived there where I didn't believe I could. And almost always the reason we don't believe is fear. We are afraid. And that manifests itself lots of ways. Fear of failure, fear of embarrassment, fear of looking stupid, fear of not knowing how, fear of getting hurt, usually not physically, but fear of getting hurt emotionally, fear of that doubt that we have that came from maybe what others have said or maybe what we have believed we've experienced, fear of it being true. You know, that fear is the barrier that keeps most people, most of the time, from doing the thing they believe they could do, or they want to be able to do, or they mostly believe they should be doing, and then we think of reasons not to, and they're almost always based on fear. So we're going to talk about what fear is, what it is. The second part is, why do you fear? And the third is, how do you get past it? We all fear certain things. One way I say that is we all fear judgment and we all fear rejection. Somehow feeling judged or rejected is one of the greatest fears. And there's several surveys that have said the greatest fear is public speaking. It's even worse than death. And if you think about it, that's all tied to fear of judgment and rejection. You'll get up there to say something, do a presentation or speak in front of 5 people or 10 or 5,000 or 50,000, and somehow they will judge you as wanting. You're not enough. You're not good enough. You didn't say anything worthwhile. Big deal. Let's boo. Let's yawn. Let's look at our phones, et cetera, et cetera. And so that massive fear of judgment and rejection gets in the way of so much love and so much expression of goodness and talent. Let's dive in now to why we fear. Why do we have such an enormous fear of judgment and rejection? Some shrink theories are that we equate it to death, that if we're judged, that we die. We're not good enough, and so we die emotionally. Rejection constitutes, and we equate it with death, like we disappear. We're not important. I read a story once about a little kid going to school, and it was called Cipher in the Snow. And it was a true story written by a school teacher in elementary school. And the school teacher had a student in the class who was quiet all the time, and the school teacher didn't know what was going on, and there was some trouble at home, and et cetera, et cetera. And one day, the boy was, I think it was a boy, the boy was found dead in the snow near the school. And there was no evidence of foul play and no evidence of anything that was wrong that could explain it. The teacher then, after doing some investigation and finding out about the loneliness and the rejection and everything, came to the conclusion that the little boy had died of loneliness and of broken heart. That fear of rejection had literally overtaken his will to live, his body's capacity to live, and so he had just withered away and died. Now, my desire in doing this is that that not happen to you. Not necessarily physically dying. I don't know how many people have actually withered away and physically died from rejection and fear and sadness and loneliness. And I know there are some, but I don't know how many. But I know that there are millions, countless millions, who wither away and die in terms of productivity, wither away and die in terms of what they could do and who they could be and what they could produce. And the gifts and talents that they have go undeveloped, untapped, unutilized, unrecognized, and all the service and good that they could have done remains undone. So the fear that we have, we talked about what fear is. We talked about what we fear and why you fear. And maybe you have other reasons. And we couch it in all kinds of language. Fear of disappointing, or, you know, our parents or friends or ourselves. But it is powerful. And it is the principal motivating reason why we don't have the ultimate life. I'll say that one more time. You might disagree with me, and that's okay. I think fear is the principal reason that you don't have your ultimate life right now if you don't. If you already have it, great. I hope you're sharing it, and I hope you're living it to the fullest and serving people like crazy with your divine gifts. And if you are, I want you to tell me, send me a comment, and I'd love to get to know you more, because I love to get to know not only people that are, but everyone. But I invite you to be sharing it and to be mentoring and helping and loving and blessing others with the fact that you have overcome these things and are creating your ultimate life. Now that we know what we fear, which is death, and death in the form of rejection, and death in the form of judgment, and death in the form of not being good enough, I need to share one more thing with you, and then we'll talk about how to get past it. The thing is this, when I wrote the book Tightrope of Depression, which is on the website if you want to read it, it's about me. And it's about the decades that I struggled with feeling, believing with all my heart, Kellen, you're not good enough, and you never will be. Now, that came from a bunch of childhood experiences, etc., and it's all in the book. What I wanted to say was I decided after I wrote the book that it needed some music, because for me, music tells powerful stories. So I wrote a whole album of songs talking about that feeling of rejection and that fear of nobodiness that we all feel, some a lot and some a little. And I gave it a name, a cryptic and scary name. And the name of the album is Name of the Black. And where that came from was this total fear. It is the place where if you struggle with depression in a serious way, it's the time when you look in the mirror and you know to the depths of your soul that all the people that have said bad things about you are right. I had an ex-spouse who kept telling me, you know, she wished that I was dead or that she could wake up in a world without me, which was her way of encouraging me to commit suicide, which her mom had committed suicide. And I think she viewed that would be a good way for me to end my imposing my presence in the world. Anyway, when you get to the point where you look in the mirror and there's no other answer, there are no more excuses, no more anything, then I called that feeling of hopelessness and the prelude to wanting to, you know, off yourself, the name of the black. So that's why I named that album that anyway. And that fear is debilitating. It is debilitating either a little or a lot for all of us. Now, here's what I want to talk about for the last part, and that is how to overcome that. The first thing is to know that it is possible to overcome it. You're not destined to live debilitated by fear forever. There is a way past that fear. So know that first of all. That bears repeating. First step is to know that it's possible. The second step is to take responsibility. What I mean by that is someone else isn't going to come and give you a magic wand or a pill or something and say, fear is gone. You need to take responsibility. I did. When I got finally determined to get past this, I said, okay, I will not be governed. I will not be limited. I will not be boxed in permanently by this fear of not being good enough. For me, that included seeing some counselors. It included some experimentation with antidepressants. It included a lot of meditation and a bunch of other things. But I took responsibility to do it. And the third thing is to get some help. Now, for me, that help came not only in the form of counselors, but in the form of coaching. I went and got coaches that I thought could help me. And it wasn't fear coaches. It was coaches that were going to help me do the things that I wanted to do. Those things that I kept telling myself, I can't do, I won't, it won't work, I'm not good enough. So rather than saying, well, I need a coach to help me overcome fear, forget that. Let's figure out how to get this first book written. Let's figure out how to get these songs recorded and out. And so the things I got coached for is voice coaching about how to sing like I wanted, writing coaching about how to write like I wanted, and other success coaching that helped me do the things that I wanted to do. And then I could point at them and say, see, I did them. I did them and they worked. It's there. So number one, know it's possible. Two, take responsibility. And three, get the right kind of help. So you do not live any longer limited by fear and instead make great progress towards your ultimate life. Open your heart
and this time around. Thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope that you take it deeply into your heart and decide for yourself how you can create anything you desire. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends. As always, we'd love to hear your feedback and topic suggestions. Until tomorrow, this is Your Ultimate Life with host Kellen Flukiger.